Proverbs 24:14. Know that wisdom is for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 24:14. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Job 36:11. Psalm 91:11. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Proverbs 35. And Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. You see this verse of Scripture on the screen before you, and you see it on the back of today's bulletin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. We've been asked over and over in recent days where we're going now that we finished the book of James. And I've been told that the good thing to say is that I have long-range plans, and my long-range plans are that right now I'm making plans for my next meal, which will not be too far from now. Today we're looking at two subjects, and on Wednesday night, the third one, having to do with the important names of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first name is Jesus. The second name is Christ Jesus. And the third is Lord Jesus Christ. Those three emphases. You'll see that on the back of the bulletin there are three passages of Scripture. There, for instance, is Matthew 1:21. There is 1 Timothy 2:5. And Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So you will be able to see that these verses are on the back of the bulletin. And also we'll be looking at them individually. And the first one is now on the screen, Matthew 1:21. We spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our reading. Father, we're thankful today for the wonderful opportunities which we have to open our hearts and minds to the eternal truths of Your Word. Not anything more important than this. And that's our reason for being here again today. We realize how important it is for us to appreciate and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come in terms into the study of terms like Jesus and Christ Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ, we're made to realize how important these wonderful names are. So help us in these moments to realize how precious and how wonderful and how great it is for us to have an understanding and a clearer vision and a better insight in relationship to that name, Jesus. Because we realize it is not only an emphasis upon a name, it's an emphasis upon the person, which is so fantastic and so wonderful. And we ask that we will have today a greater desire to have an appreciation and a love and a dedication and commitment to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We begin our reading with Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which its translation means God with us. Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Some of the most precious verses that I could ever read, I've just read to you from Matthew chapter 1. The coming of Jesus to this earth in the flesh, the incarnation, the hypostatic union, is the greatest demonstration of the love of God to mankind. John said, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. We're to think of it. God sent his Son to lost mankind, dead in trespasses and sins, to die on the cross. A sacrifice to put away our sins, that we might have everlasting life. To be redeemed, to live with him throughout eternity. I would say, and I know you would agree with me this morning, that is real love. God became man that man might become like him. We shall be totally like him one of these days, the scripture says, when we shall see him as he is. We know not what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For now, we're to be like him by allowing him to rule, master, and control our lives. When I think in terms of the scripture I read today, I have to say that this, along with other verses of scripture, God is the sender. He sent an angel, as you remember, to announce the birth. The receiver was an earthbound person, Mary, a young Jewish virgin, engaged to Joseph, who was of the house of David, the scripture says, in the obscure little land of Palestine, in a very insignificant city called Nazareth. Here we have heavenly, celestial contact with an earthly, terrestrial person. What kind of a message would come from the celestial to the terrestrial? What would an angel say to a human being? Well, I read it in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. The words highly favored are interesting. It comes from a Greek expression which means to make one the object of one's favor. To make one the object of one's favor. Mary was the special object of God's favor. What I'm amazed to see is that that same expression is used in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, where it says, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That means that we've been graced out. We've been favored. So God has made us the object of His favor. I don't know what this does to you, but it makes a little lump come up in my throat when I think in terms of the fact that that's the kind of God, love God has for us. It means that God is willing to give us His tremendous blessings in grace. The grace of salvation has been provided for all mankind. That's the reason why we have that beautiful verse, John 3:16. When a person accepts that grace, he becomes an object of the benefits of that grace. We become objects of His love. Mary had nothing to do to merit the favor, even though it was a high honor. Coming with that high honor was abuse and ridicule and misunderstanding. Can you just imagine the news that went out when the word was out that this young lady who was engaged to Joseph to be married to him is now expecting a baby? Well, I tell you what, it came out in the Baytown Sun, the Houston Post, and all the other magazines and newspapers. Not really. What I'm trying to tell you, can't you just imagine the town gossips and the tattletales getting on the horn, so to speak, with the juicy news that the sweet little young lady engaged to Joseph is now expecting a baby? The scripture says that Mary was troubled and she thought about this. It's interesting the way it's put in the scripture. She cast it in her mind. That's the expression that you find. In other words, that means that she pondered these thoughts. She considered, she reasoned, but her fear is removed. When you go down to verse 28 and 30, when our Lord said, "Fear not, Mary," which says in reality from the original text, you're already doing something, but stop it. Stop being afraid. You have absolutely nothing to fear. The Lord is with you. The first thing the Lord does is remove her fear, in which tells us He's in charge. One of the greatest things that you and I must know is that the Lord is in charge. The reason not to be afraid is you found favor with God. The Lord came to this earth to bless us, to bless you, Mary. He desires to pour out His blessings upon you. In fact, that's the theme of the whole message of God's Word. I noticed something. The superiority here. Deity, the kingship of Jesus Christ in verses 32 and 33. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. That's a reference to the millennial throne, of course. Mary's faith and Mary's surrender. The power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And Mary's reply is, "Be it unto me according to your word." What I want you to see today is that Mary was willing to say, "I don't understand it, but be it unto you, unto me, according to your word." Which is saying faith is taking God at His word. And that, in my opinion, as you can see, is submission. Everlasting life belongs to every person who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's submission to His Word. Would you look with me today at Matthew 1:21? "And she shall bear a son." She shall bear a son. If you'll look, please, at that word, T-I-K-T-O. Tick-toe. An interesting word that I want to give you. I was handed a book this morning and I immediately went to this particular word to find it because I wanted to see if it was saying what I'd been studying over recent days. The word tiktoe, T-I-K-T-O, that's translated bear a son here, means to bring forth. It means to produce. It means to be in a state of travail. It means to be able to be delivered. And she shall bear a son. Now I know that you know that I always look at these words and I try to find out what all is being said here. She shall bear a son. She shall bear a son. And I notice that it emphasizes the fact that this is something that's going to happen out there in the future, in the near future, because it's a future tense verb. What you may or may not have noticed is that this particular verb is showing us that it is to her advantage to be the recipient of the power and the working of God the Holy Spirit that brought about this magnificent conception. It is to her advantage to be the recipient of this magnificent great gift that God is now performing. So there we have the mental voice which says the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. Now what participation does she have? The participation that she has is that she is startled. She's amazed by the fact that God has chosen to use her as in any other individual. But God chose to use her. She's highly favored. She's the one that God has chosen now, and the Holy Spirit has brought about this conception. What's she going to do? The Scripture says she's going to bear a son. And that word bear, as I already said, means to produce. And then it goes on to say, and you shall call his name Jesus. What's been amazing to me through the years is that in the Scripture and in the New Testament, you have sometimes the word Jesus. Sometimes you have the word Lord Jesus. Sometimes you have the words Jesus Christ. Sometimes you have Christ Jesus. And sometimes you have the Lord Jesus Christ. And you just read that and don't think much about it. But I'm of the opinion that you need to take a look at it. That's what we're doing now. The first word that we're seeing here is the name Jesus. She will bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Many times I've said, if I should call you by your first name, people will not think particularly about the meaning of the name. They will think about you as a person. And that's the way it is when I think in terms of this name, Jesus. What I want to give you today is some traditional facts by way of introduction. Most of us already know some of this, but some of us may not know it. It is interesting to realize the various concepts that people have in relationship to Christmas and December the 25th and the name Jesus. You may or may not want to write this, and that's okay with me, because this is some tradition and some history. In 125 to 136 A.D., the second bishop of Rome declared that public church services should be held to celebrate the birth of Christ. This was 125 to 136 A.D. The second bishop of Rome declared that public church services should be held to celebrate the birth of Christ. In 350 A.D., there was a pope and other religious leaders that declared the 25th of December as the official date of Christ's birth. We're going to talk about that later, but I want you to realize that December the 25th is not necessarily the birthday of the Lord Jesus, even though traditionally we set that time aside. In 350 A.D., Pope Julius and other religious leaders declared the 25th day of December as the official day of Christ's birth. In 354 A.D., and you want to write this date down, 354 A.D., there was a celebration time, which was the first celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ as actual celebration, and it was called Christ Mass, C-H-R-I-S-T, apostrophe S, Mass, M-A-S-S. That was 354 A.D. I'll refer to this again later, but I want you to be able to get it down in your notes. In 400 A.D., there was a pope that introduced the Midnight Mass and the Christmas Crib in Rome. So in 400 A.D., there was the introduction of the Midnight Mass and the Christmas Crib in Rome. The next date is 500 A.D. In 500 A.D., bells appeared in churches, although traditionally they looked upon it as somewhat pagan. They had bells in the churches in 500 A.D. In 575 A.D., Bishop Martin in Germany forbid all evergreens in churches and decorations, declaring that all of that was pagan. That was 575 A.D., Bishop Martin in Germany. In 601, the Pope instructs the churches to use greenery as decorations for Christmas celebrations to combat the pagan practices. That was 601. Now, some years later, in 1223, St. Francis of Assisi introduced Christmas carols to formal church services and the nativity scene in the churches. Now, you can do whatever you want to with that information. It's traditional. You may or may not know about this, but the Catholic Church has an emphasis on three different types of Mass. Their first Mass is called the Angel's Mass. It's done on midnight, at midnight. The second was the Shepherd's Mass, known as the Dawn Mass. And the third was the Mass of the Divine Word, known as Christmas Day Mass. So they have three different Mass services. Now, by way of introduction for me, that's an introduction for information I've gathered. The first point is, there was not a Christmas in the Old Testament. If you can find it, let me know. There was not a Christmas celebration in the Old Testament. Number two, the manger occurred in the age of Israel. The manger occurred in the age of Israel. Number three, the year after Jesus' birth, we have no record of a birthday party. The year after Jesus' birth, we have no record of a birthday party. Number four, December 25 is not the actual date of his birth. He was born in the spring of the year, based on balmy weather, shepherds on the hillside with newborn lambs. December is a rainy season in Palestine, and the birth of Christ was not during a rainy season. Number five, this Christmas was not known as a celebration until, as I said earlier, 354 A.D. It was a date of the winter solstice and the pagan feast of the sun. At this point in history, when Christmas became an established festive time, there was a warring of the Christian world and the pagan world. It was set up in the hope of uniting the two worlds. They decided to call it Christmas to supposedly honor the celebration of the Christian world and also celebrate the pagan world, the Feast of the Sun. This was to help appease, at that time, the Christians. A positive believer at that point of time in history would have interpreted this as blasphemy. Number six, it received its name from Christ's Mass, a Catholic term. Number seven, very interesting indeed, truth plus false is false. False plus truth is false. False plus false is false. And only truth plus truth is truth. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. The songwriter said it like this. The name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete. The precious name of Jesus. Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Jesus every day the same. Jesus let all saints proclaim. It's worthy praise forever. Now let me give you some information that most of you already know. I'm not going to put this in points. I'm going to do it rapidly, and you take it however you want to. Jesus of Nazareth. The Christ, the Anointed One. In other words, when you look at the name Christ, you will see it is an emphasis from the original language on the one whose head was anointed with oil. So it emphasizes the fact that Christ is the Anointed One. The name Jesus is derived from a Hebrew word or an Aramaic, Hebrew-Aramaic word, Yeshua, meaning the Lord of Salvation. Christ, the word, comes from the Greek word Christos, meaning, as I just said, the Anointed One or the Appointed One. Jesus is a central figure in Christianity. His life, message, and ministry are presented to us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. Jesus was from Galilee, who performed many miracles. He called 12 Jewish men to follow him, working closely with him to train and prepare them to carry on the ministry. There are some interesting things that all of us know. I've already mentioned it today. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, turned water into wine, healed many sick, blind and lame people, forgave sins, multiplied fish and loaves of bread to feed thousands on more than one occasion, delivered demon-possessed individuals, walked on water, calmed the stormy sea, raised children and adults from death to life, and the most of all, proclaimed good news of salvation. Can you imagine how great the name Jesus really is? Jesus laid down his life and was crucified, was resurrected from the dead. He paid for the sins of the world and purchased pardon, redemption for all mankind. He restores individuals to fellowship with God. He's opened the way of eternal life by his matchless grace. And the scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. He was not only fully God, but he was fully man. That's where we have that word, hypostatic union. That's where we have that word, incarnation, God in the flesh. He became a human being so that he could identify with our weaknesses and struggles. But most of all, he became a human being to reveal that he paid the penalty for the sins of the world in John 1:1, John 1:14, Hebrews 2:17. If we're going to take a look at Jesus, we're going to discover a lot of things. We're going to see Jesus as described by the word sacrifice, humility, purity, obedience, devotion. You're not going to be able to take all this down, but I want you to be able to see that what I'm trying to do is to get over to you today that Jesus is a wonderful name. But more than that, Jesus is a wonderful person who was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth, die for you and me. Oh yes, born in Bethlehem of Judea, grew up in Nazareth in Galilee, mentioned more than 1,200 times in the New Testament. If you want to know about him, his life, his message, his ministry, you read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. The earthly father was Joseph, a carpenter. He's referred to as a carpenter in Mark 6:3. I put down something here. This is interesting. His heavenly father was God. His earthly father was Joseph, even though Joseph had absolutely nothing to do with his being born, because the Holy Spirit brought about that birth. Mary was the mother. Well, I find some things about Jesus in relationship to his brothers and even his sisters. If I came and sat by you today and asked you, did Jesus have any sisters? What would you say to that? Well, you'd probably say yes. Then I'd ask you, where were you finding in the scripture that Jesus had sisters? And you'd probably say, I don't know. That's okay. I wouldn't know either unless I studied it and got ready to tell you about it. The brothers of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. If you want to put down where they're found, in Mark chapter 3, verse 31. In Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. And Luke chapter 8, verse 19. I'll repeat these verses because I was going rapidly and you didn't get it all. Brothers James, Joseph, Judas, Simon. Mark 3, 31. Mark 6, 3. Matthew 12, 46. Matthew 13, 55. And Luke 8, 19. What about his sisters? Would you like to know what the Bible says? Are the sisters given to us by name? No. They're not named, but they're mentioned in Matthew 13, 55. Matthew 13, 56. And Mark chapter 6, verse 3. So we have the sisters mentioned. You have that passage of scripture. Let me ask you another question that all of you should know. If you want to know about the genealogy of Jesus, where would you go to find it? Well, I can tell you where you can find it. In Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. What's been amazing to me is, in preparation for this message and these messages, I found out that the whole Bible is filled with references to Jesus in one way or another. There are many, many, many scriptural names and titles for the Lord. I only have a few pages. I'm not going to read these to you. I just want to show you what I have. These are just a few. In other words, starting out with the letter A, Advocate, Almighty, Alpha and Omega, on down the line, taking you through all the letters of the alphabet. And then I got over into the H's and the I's and the K's and the L's, and then the O's, and the P's, and the R's, and the S's, and T's, and there were still more pages, and I said, there's no way that I'll be able to give all this. So, here it is. Now you know. But Jesus is referred to in many different ways. He's referred to as prophet, Lord, Son of Man, Son of God, King of the Jews, Lamb of God, Christ the new Adam, Rabbi, Rabboni, Apostle, Paraclete, Mediator, High Priest, Logos, Emmanuel, Head of the Church. This is just a few of the many names for the Lord Jesus Christ. I come back to this beautiful expression. I love the name of Him whose heart knows all my griefs and bears apart, who bids all anxious fears depart. I love the name of Jesus. The name I fondly love to hear, it never fails my heart to cheer. Its music dries the falling tear. Exalt the name of Jesus. No word of man can ever tell how sweet the name I love so well. Oh, let its praises ever swell. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim His worthy praise forever. Isn't it wonderful to have and know about this man, Jesus? May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank You so much today for Jesus. And thank You so much that He was willing to go to the cross to bear our sins and give to us that magnificent plan the plan of redemption. There's no other way, because Jesus said, I'm the way. And for those who hear this message who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, oh, may they realize that the greatest thing that could ever happen in their life would be for them as an individual to personally accept Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that there will be those who will do that even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey.